All right, Tosi. So we are picking up Emirat Hashem on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, 33a, and we are picking up. Oh, actually, first white line. Maskifla Rav Acha Karchino Elamiata Gidolin Akama She Nitna Bein Shtei Osios. Remember again, yes, we were talking about the idea that Das is great, right? Or the Beis Hamikdash is great because it's mentioned in between two names of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But according to this logic, right, nekama, revenge, should also be great because nekama is also mentioned between two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shneemar, kel nekamos Hashem. That ultimately, and you have kel, which is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nekamos, nekama, revenge, and Hashem. So maybe revenge is also something great. Amar le in, b'milsa miha gidolahi. The Gemara says, you're right, the truth is, revenge when it is necessary and revenge when it is dealt with by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually something incredibly important. Ultimately, again, why are there two types of nekamas? So the Gemara says, because remember, nekamas is plural. So what does it mean, revenges, plural? So the Gemara says, achas letova v'achas lera'a. There's one revenge, that's revenge for the Nebuchadnezzar. And I remember, because the way the Gemara is looking at revenge is that Nakam is like a payback. So there could be a payback that is like a good payback, and a payback that's a negative payback. So the Gemara says over here that again, there's two paybacks, one right, one Latova, one for good, and one not for good. The Gemara says, Latova dichsiv hofa mehar paran. So ultimately, again, revenge for good, because this is hofa mehar paran. Lera dichsiv kel nekamos Hashem, kel nekamos Sophia. So we'll say a really incredible idea, and I think like a very timely Gemara as well. And I would say, I think for many of us, just like when you contemplate it, the notion of revenge has generally been something that is like alien to us. It's alien to us, right? That again, revenge, when you think about it, it's something that's prohibited, right? You're not allowed to take revenge against someone. But yet it's interesting, Gemara is pointing out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known as a Kel Nekamos, a God who takes revenge. A God who takes revenge. I'm sorry? Well, he avenges, but the word in the comma means revenge. So right, he takes revenge. He'll say, but I'll point out, because what do you see from here? You see that there is a place for revenge. There's a place for revenge. Now, the way we normally deal with it is we leave revenge to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We don't dabble in that, because when man dabbles in that, that becomes much more complicated. But ultimately, again, we see this concept of saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there have been those who have oppressed us. There have been those who have afflicted us. There have been those who mistreat us. Shbarachu, avenge, revenge, right? Take care of us. Take care of us. Set the world straight. Set society straight. Why should it be? Why should it be that those who perpetrate wrongs should just be able to do so without any kind of recourse or any kind of repercussion? Shbarachu, the world should run on justice. The world should run on justice. Tzedek and mishpat. Kel nekamos Hashem. Overwhelming. I will say, you know, the beauty of Torah, but I just enjoy the beauty of Torah, is you could learn the same pasuk, the same Gemara, in different times, and depending on where you're holding in life, it takes on a different meaning. How many times have I seen this Gemara Kel Nekamos, and just like blown through it, right? Blown through it. And yet, again, in a time in which we're living, suddenly, like, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to do that. I want that. I want the equilibrium to be reestablished. I want there to be a wave of justice in this world. Why is it that we always have to suffer the injustices of others? Why is it that we always have to be on the short end of the stick? Kel nekamos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amazing. Let's go back there. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Omer Bracha Revius Bifnaz. Remember again, we'll say back to the Mishnah. So in this story, we're speaking about the Bracha of Havdalah. And when it came to Havdalah, Rabbi Akiva said that Havdalah is its own Bracha. It's the fourth Bracha in Shmona Esrei. Amrali Rav Shman Bar Abel Rabbi Yochanan. Michti, Anshei Knesses HaGadolah, Tiknu Lehem Yisrael Brachos, Tfilos Kiddushos, V'Havdalos, Nichsi, Heichi Takin. So let's listen to this. This is incredible Gemara. The Gemara says, I don't understand. How is there a machlokis about where Atachanan Tanu is? That doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't it make sense? Well, so remember again, Atachanan Tanu is part of Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei was created and instituted by the men of the Great Assembly. Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Remember again, we'll say just historically, Shmona Esrei was created after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah that after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, so we were exiled and we were in Bavel. What happened in Babel? the generation that was born in Babel was not proficient in any one language. So they knew Aramaic, they knew Hebrew, but they didn't have a mastery of any one particular language. So both say, so remember again, before prayer was codified, how would you daven? You spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But speaking to God, by definition, requires what? Mastery of language, at least on some basic level. The Rambam writes that after Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, there was like a lot of like, we'll call it, for lack of a better, like linguistic confusion. So the rabbis saw this, and what did they do? They codified Shemona Esrei. That was the men of the Great Assembly, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. The men of the Great Assembly made Shemona Esrei, and they also made all of the insertions. So, Yalevi Yavo, Mashiv Racha Munad HaGashem, Esein Talmat Liv Racha, and Havdalah. So, where do they put it? In other words, why is there a machlokus about where it goes? This was a rabbinic enactment. So how did the rabbis legislate it? Shabbos said, this is incredible. Amarle, betchila kavua betfila. Listen to this. In the beginning, Havdalah was part of davening, right? It was part of Shemona Esrei. In other words, part of Shemona Esrei. He has shiru. Then Shabbos said, now, originally that was done, why? Why was that done? Why was Havdalah added as part of Shemona Esrei? I will say, out of a concern, out of a, we'll call it like a fiscal concern, because people didn't necessarily have the money to have an additional cup of wine. Right? You already had wine for Kiddush on Friday night. You already had wine for Kiddush during the day. Right? That's the first time during the Haftorah. And then again, you have to make Kiddush. It's a joke. Right? Okay, right? Then you have the second Kiddush, ultimately again, right? Kiddush during the day. So now, to make people have a third cup would have been, you know, potentially like a financially onerous. So Chazal said, you know what? We'll just put Havdalah in Shemona Esrei. Put in Shemona Esrei. So the Gemara says, Heshiru kavu lakos. Then when Klal Yisrael became a little bit more wealthy, so they went back and they put it back on the cup. So the Gemara says, Ha'anu. And then ultimately again, then Klal Yisrael became poor again. That's right. This is the cyclical nature of wealth. Right? So again, it's interesting to point out. So the original enactment of Havdalah ultimately again was in Shemona Esrei. Then we had money. They put it sounds like what they did is they removed it from Shemona Esrei, put it on a cup of wine, became poor again, removed it from the cup of wine, put it back in Shemona Esrei. Mehemamru, and then they said, Hamavdu Bitfila Sarkshi Yavdu Alakos. At that point it was with all the back and forth. What Chazal essentially said was just what? Was what? You know what? Do them both. Just do them both. Right? So make Havdalah in Shemona Esrei and Havdalah ala kos. Now again, that presupposes that you have a kos. If you have a kos, make Havdalah. If you don't have a kos, okay, then you're Yotze with Havdalah in Shemona Esrei. So the Gemara says, Itmar Nami, we have a brace that supports this. Amra b'chiyah bar Abba, Amra b'yochanan. Anshei k'nes ha-gedolah tiknu lan l'yisrael brachos utfilos kiddushos v'havdalos. So Anshei k'nes ha-gedolah, men of the Great Assembly, established Shemona Esrei and all of its add-ons. So betchila kavua betfila. So in the beginning, Havdalah was part of Shemona Esrei. Heshiru, when we ran into a little bit more money, kavua ala kos, they put it on a cup of wine. Chazru behenu, then we became poor again. Kavu betfila, they put it back in prayer. Behem amru, hamavdo betfila, tzark shiavd ala kos. Well, this is just interesting to see historically. There was like this period of time, I don't know how long it spent for, but this period of time where like it wavered. It went from davening to the coast to davening, and then at a certain point, Chazal like, all right, enough. It's just, we're going to do both, and if you could swing the coast, then swing the coast. But if not, at least you know that it's covered by Shemona Esrei. Yes?
It's the point that when it went back to coast, they forgot where it was supposed to go back in when they started feeling.
Correct. So we're going to get there in just a second. But that's essentially what's happening over here is, given the fact that there was so much movement in Shemona Esrei, out of Shemona Esrei, at some point in time when they took out of Shemona Esrei and they put it back, there was confusion. Where do we put it back? Where do we put it back? That's exactly it. So the Gemara says as follows. Good. Hey, Mamru, Hamavdo betfila, Sarshi Yavda alakos. Okay, it's Marnami, Rabba Barab Yosef, Tamri Tarbayo, Hamavdo betfila, Sarshi Yavda alakos. When you make Havdalah in Shemona Esrei, you still have to make Havdalah in a cup of wine. Amr Rabba says, Umosfina Nashmaita. But we can ask a question from another ruling. What's the other ruling? Ta'a, follow Hiskir Gvuras Kisham Mitchas Amesim. If a person forgot to say Mashiva Ruach Mori Dagashem, in Tchias Anesim, Usheilu Berchas Hashanim, or B'Sein Talamot Livracha, in Baruch Aleinu, Machzirin also, you have to go back. Right? If you forget Mashiv Ruach Merid HaGashem, or you forget B'Sein Talamot Livracha, you have to go back and repeat Shemona Esrei. Yet, V'Havdalah B'Chonin Adas, in Machzirin also, yet the halacha is, by Havdalah and Chonin Adas, You don't have to go back and repeat it. You forget Abdullah, you don't have to go back and repeat Shemona Esrei. So Mar says, why? Mipnei sheyachol la'omra alakos. Because you could always go ahead and still say it on a cup of wine. Mar says, lo tema mipnei sheyachol la'omra ela ema mipnei sheomra alakos. Don't read it as because you can say it on a cup of wine. That makes it sound like saying on a cup of wine is optional, you know? If you want to, you can. If you don't, rather no. It means if you forgot Atach HaNatan HaShemona Esrei, you don't have to go back. Why? Because we are making Havdalah HaLakos. So essentially, what the evolution of Halacha became is from going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, we just said, do them both. Do them both. Havdalah in Shemona Esrei and Havdalah HaLakos. Incredible. Itmar Nami. Rabbi Yamin bar Yafes, Shal Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yochanan Bitzidan, Va'amrili Rabbi Shimon ben Yaakov Dimintzur Es Rabbi Yochanan Va'anashamis Hamavdul Betfila Tzarek Sheyavdul Alakos Olo. So here's the Shaila. If I say Atachanan Tanon Shmona Esrei, do I still have to say Havdalah on a cup of wine or not? Va'amrili Tzarek Sheyavdul Alakos. And he said, yes, you still have to make Havdalah on a cup of wine. See by the Gemara asks the kasha, Hamavde alakos mashi yavdu betfila. So I'll say, so what about the reverse? What about the reverse? So I'll say, what about if you made Havdalah on a cup of wine? Do you still have to say Atachan and Tano and Shemona Esrei? And I'll say, you think to yourself, how does this come up? It come up very simply. You made Havdalah before you daven Ma'ariv. It could happen, right? But in other words, as much as we're used to davening Ma'ariv, you know, right at the end of Shabbos before I make Havdalah, but technically speaking, I don't know. I'll tell you where this come up. Person lives far away from shul. Right, so what I really want to do is I don't want to have to drive back. I don't have to walk back from Ma'ariv. So instead, I'll make Havdalah at home. And then I'll go back and daven Ma'ariv at shul. Daven Ma'ariv at shul. So now I've already made Havdalah ala kos. Do I still have to say Atachan and Tanu and Shemona Esrei?
Does saying Baruch Hamavdul B'Toshachol qualify as a type of Havdalah that would change what the halacha is if you didn't say the Shemona Esrei?
No, so essentially, Baruch Hamavdul B'Toshachol essentially is like Atachan and Tanu. Bottom line halacha, that's pretty much what it is. Pretty much what it is. It allows you to do malacha. Again, I'm skipping like till the end halacha l'maisa. It allows you to do malacha, doesn't allow you to eat. Havdalah ala kos is ultimately what allows you to eat. But again, we're going to see. Let's continue a little bit. So that's the Shavuot. So interesting, Shaila. I made Havdalah ala kos. Do I have to still say Atachar and Tanu or not? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Kavachomer mitvila. Yes, it's Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Umat tvila de'ikar takan tehi. So remember, I will say, so Havdalah, as it began in Shemona Esrei. That's the Ikar Takanta. So reciting Atachar and Tanu, reciting Havdalah in Shemona Esrei is the Ikar Takana. So Amri Amavdu mitvila tzarek she'Havdalah kos. So I will say, yeah, the halacha is that even though the Ikar Havdalah, at least initially, was Atachar and Tanu, even if you said it, you still have to go back and say Havdalah on a cup of wine. Hamavdu ala kos, the love ikar takantihi, lokol shekin. At the end of the day, again, if you say Havdalah ala kos, which was not the ikar institution of Havdalah, then of course you still have to go back and say Atachar and Tanu. So what the Gemara seems to be saying over here, not seems, Gemara is saying over here, is that even if you recited Havdalah on a cup of wine first, you still have to include Atachar and Tanu in Shemona Esrei. Pretty incredible. So the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Acha Aricha Kamei Drav Chinina Hamavdu B'Tfilah Meshubach Yosra Mishiyavda Alakos. Listen to this. He says, somebody makes Havdalah in Shemona Esrei is more Meshubach, is more praiseworthy than someone who makes Havdalah on a cup of wine. V'im Hivdil Bazu Bazu Yanuchu Lo Brachos Arosho. And if you make Havdalah in Shemona Esrei and on a kos, Mamish Brachos on your head. Brachos on your head. He'll say, I just want to point out, Yiddishkeit is not complicated. All that Kaddish Baruch Hu, will say, what does this mean? It's such a strange thing, right? If I make Havdalah on Shemona Esrei and on a cup of wine, Yanuchu lo brachos al rosho. Brachos will be showered upon him. We'll say, what does that mean? What does that mean? So I think what the Gemara is saying is like this. We'll say, do you know where real bracha comes from in life? Real bracha comes from when you push yourself beyond expectations. Living up to expectations, that is expected. That's why they're called expectations. Right? That's expected. Transcending expectations, that's where greatness is. And that's where bracha is. And I will say, by the way, it's true everywhere in life. You know, like this has been lost in greater society a little bit, but like, you know, today, I mentioned this in Daf Yomi this morning, how you see that now there are certain organizations that are distancing themselves from DEI, right? They're distancing. Why? It's not shocking, because the whole thing is foolishness. The idea is, if you're running a business, you're running an organization, you want to be successful. So therefore, who do you put into positions? The people who could make you successful. It doesn't matter what their gender is, what their race is, what their religion is, what their identity is, what their pronouns are. Who cares? Who cares? Success comes from whoever is willing to work the hardest. In fact, I always say, like, you know, one of the things that I appreciate most about America, I'm a first generation American, one of the things that I appreciate most about this country, with all of its craziness, is that what you could do in America is, if you are willing to work harder than the guy next to you, then you could find success. But you have to be willing to get up earlier, stay up later, and work just a little bit harder than everyone else, and you could find success. That's not true everywhere. That is not true everywhere. That is the great American dream. You can make that happy here. I think before it was the American dream, it was Chazal's dream. Right? So Chazal is saying, if you make Havdalah ala kos, right, in Shemona Esrei, and ala kos, then guess what? Yanuchu brachos arosha. That means you're a person who exceeds expectations. You could do either one of those and you're covered. You're doing both. You're exceeding expectations. That's a bracha-filled life. That's a life of success. Incredible. All right. I was going to have to stop over here. Wow, we're really covering very little ground. But all right. Baruch Hashem. Okay, good. You know what? That's where we're soaking it in. We're taking it. Let's say, tremendous shkayach. Continue tomorrow.
Every shot on DEI is worth it.
No, it just happened twice in one day.